This is pissed off parents might change this state. So thanks for being the front line.
Thanks.
All right. Good to see you again. John Humphreys is up next, and he is from Mount Horeb, speaking in favor.
Good afternoon, almost evening. My name is John Humphreys. I'm a licensed school psychologist, director of special education, and superintendent, and I've served in each of those roles in schools in Wisconsin. I was also president of the Wisconsin School Psychologists Association for 2 years. I was an appointed member of the National Association of School Psychologists Ethics Committee, and I know that the WSRA representatives both cited NASP in their testimony, and I'd like to address some of what they said in a moment. I was asked this evening, or I asked, rather, to be Josh Hader, to be the closer, so I could address some of the things that I was sure you were going to hear, some of the mischaracterizations and such. And I'm here to testify in favor of AB 446. This is long-awaited and much-needed improvement to reading instruction. I wanted to offer a couple of options. I want to focus this afternoon on some context and history and a little peek behind the curtain from having worked at DPI for 7 years and having been a candidate for state superintendent. I've seen these efforts come and go, and I can cover this in about 5 minutes, but if you want some more of the details, we can go for 15. So raise your hand if you want the 15-minute version.
I've been here all this time. I might as well get the whole story.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's two. But Representative Rosar, I want to specifically address your question with regard to the eighth grade NAEP results. We rank eighth not because we're knocking it out of the park. I'm going to stick with the baseball analogies. We have 38% reading proficiency in the eighth grade. 38. And in 2017, it was 37. Or rather, it was 39. So we actually declined. So it's not that Wisconsin is stellar. It's that other states are so bad. Yeah. So I want to come to you with a simple premise. Reading is the most important thing that we teach in schools. Number one, there is no other job that's as important. I appear today in my individual capacity, but I would note that I work for a company that offers teacher training and leadership coaching for schools to improve this work, their reading outcomes. But our work would be totally unnecessary if DPI and the RTI centers and the CESAs and all the professional organizations that are against this bill had been doing their job for the last 10 years or more, 30 years. We would be totally irrelevant, and I would be out muskie fishing. So this bill hopefully will cause organizations to begin training and advocating for improved instruction. That would be a great result. I personally, a year ago, requested the participation of the Wisconsin School Administrators Association in the development of this bill, and they said no. Okay? They did not want to participate. I made that direct request in person, talked to them, no thanks. And this is one reason why it's important for you to intervene. There is no statewide leadership organization focused on improving reading instruction in the state. You are it. This committee is central to improving reading outcomes in the state of Wisconsin. So thank you for your work. I was the lead author of the rule to identify learning disabilities, a lead author. That rule required the use of data to identify kids who are at risk, interventions, and parental involvement. I hope that sounds familiar because that's what this bill does, right? And DPI lost a critical opportunity to provide that type of model across the state when the rule was passed over 10 years ago. Interestingly, it was the people like WSRA and some of the groups that opposed this bill that undercut that effort. Because if you're going to do that to identify a learning disability, it's pretty easy to do that throughout early stages of a child's career in learning to read. But they also undercut the Read to Lead Act. They also undercut, and you just saw it, the dyslexia guidebook. They have had a concerted, coordinated effort to undercut all kinds of efforts to improve reading instruction across the state. And it just blows your mind. And I'm so appreciative of Mr. Chairman today losing his temper with school boards. I mean, this has got to end. Where does it stop? We knew then, in 2011, as well as now, that our state was falling well behind. And you heard the statistics. I will just say that for white kids who don't get free and reduced lunch and don't have a disability, we're 42nd in the nation with about 50% reading proficiency. So our most advantaged, our most privileged kids, only half of them are reading at grade level in the fourth grade. Our best elementary schools leave 1 in 4 kids behind. 1 in 4 kids who can't read at grade level in our best schools. So this is another reason why it's time for you to intervene. DPI allowed this opportunity for systemic change following the SLD rule to pass by. They issued guidance saying that schools should not abandon the old practices simply because they didn't meet the standards set by the LD rule. They also wrote, districts do not need to have an RTI process for all students. A comprehensive system is not required. So this bill basically requires that now, 10 years later, after DPI had the chance to do the right thing. You heard about Florida, you heard about Mississippi. They're not doing now doing better than Wisconsin. In fact, after a few years of work in Florida, the average Hispanic kid in Florida was outperforming the average of all kids in Wisconsin and 31 other states. It's mind-boggling. So what WSRA and the others who oppose this bill want is more of the same, and lo and behold, it's not working. I have seen very little in the way of meaningful leadership on this issue in Wisconsin. Former State Senator Luther Olson made a big push 5 years ago for the National Conference of State Legislators, No Time to Lose, How to Build a World-Class Education System State by State. And the School Administrators Association was all in on that. Great, got to do this. They wrote, to realize our vision of preparing all students to be college and career ready, it is imperative that we continue to raise the academic bar for all students and close achievement gaps. Wisconsin's educators can and will meet this imperative, but only if policymakers commit to evidence-based policies that are proven to drive whole system improvement. That's what this is. They called for it. They want it. Why are they not here testifying in favor? I think we're actually seeing progress because I think they're too afraid to show up. I think Ben Niehaus showing up and actually being willing to talk today was important. Kudos to Ben. But where's Dan Rossmiller? Where's John Ashley? Where's John Bales? Where's John Forrester? Where's John Johnson? You got John Humphreys. Holy cow. So they're not here. I think it's hard to defend what they've got going on. And frankly, they lack credibility. They have no solutions to offer. They have no credibility to offer you anything in this regard. Meanwhile, DPI and the RTI Center have made mistake after mistake, erecting barriers to improvement. When they issued new standards for literacy, they took the early literacy standards and tucked them into an appendix at the back of the standards, minimizing the impact. They didn't want to talk about basic reading instruction. They wanted to focus on comprehension only. They lost the opportunity. Interestingly, I had multiple colleagues who joined the Wisconsin RTI Center about 10 years ago to try to improve these outcomes. They were issued what amounted to professional gag orders, telling them that they were not to tell schools specific ideas to improve reading instruction in the state. Literally prohibited at risk of discipline from providing specific answers. So this is another reason why it's time for the legislature to intervene. The efforts of the past 5 to 10 years have failed. So instead, DPI, along with WSRA and the state leadership organizations, offer support for balanced literacy, which really is no balance at all. It just does not work. The reality is there is a right way to teach students to read. It's not about letting them discover. It shows them how to read through clear teaching. It's systematic. It requires teaching of letter-sound relationships, phonemic awareness, phonics, in a specific scope and sequence. It provides specific feedback for learning readers, correcting errors, providing guided practice, not just lots of exposure, and we never, ever should teach kids to guess at words. So one professional talked about this. It's in my testimony. Fundamentally, this is another reason why it's time for the legislature to intervene. The research is clear. You heard Dr. Seidenberg. It's unequivocal. We know how to teach kids to read. This one is fascinating to me. Deb Zarling sat here and said that the bill takes away from equity. I can't understand. DPI has invested tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars addressing racial inequities, but not with specific guidance on improved teaching. Instead, asking teachers to shift their mindset as if that was some sort of a miracle cure for our achievement gaps. It's another reason why it's time for the legislature to intervene. We continue to waste time. AB 446 is a start, and Representative Pope's questions ask about additional things that could be done. Ben Nijo said we need more interventions. Absolutely. But this is a start. It's not perfect, Representative Ranthlin. I think you said that earlier. I want to read to you a text message from that principal we talked about from Missouri. I asked her if it was okay. This is the lady that Senator Bernier referred to. She said, I received our end-of-the-year state scores for my school in Missouri, and the group of students that hit 95% proficient in third grade hit 100% proficient and advanced in fifth grade this year, with the majority of these students being advanced. That 100% included two students with disabilities. She said those students earned a 95% proficient or advanced for third grade, didn't test in fourth grade because of COVID, were on a blended schedule where they came 2 days a week from August through February, and some learners were virtual all year. They hit 100% proficient or advanced in fifth grade, with the majority being advanced. That shows the power and importance of having students at grade level by third grade. We don't lose them after that. Paul Schley, the superintendent in Cornell, also provided testimony, a written statement to me that I forwarded to the committee. So we do need more. Democrats tell people they want to follow the science. They say they're the party working for educational equity. Well, this bill does both. I hope they support it. I would say that if districts are spending 30 hours or more on screening, they're just missing the concept of what screening should be. So this bill is an opportunity to move Wisconsin forward. I call on this committee to unanimously approve it, send it to the full legislature. I have a list of recommendations with regard to amendments that I think would improve the bill. I have included those. I also want to encourage you to include a timeline for implementation. These kinds of changes take some time. I would incentivize it, as you suggested, with some carrots. I would also say that there are some future changes that need to happen as you consider what's going to need to come next. And I just will summarize here. We addressed the 38% proficiency issue. Cromer referenced the National Association of School Psychologists. Again, I was on that committee. I would never use a single measure for high-stakes decisions, but giving kids help in reading is not a high-stakes decision. It's just like when you get your blood pressure, and Representative Penderman, you said, you know, a prescription without a diagnosis is malpractice, and that's true. But if you go to the doc and you have high blood pressure or elevated blood pressure, they'd say, you know what, cut back on the alcohol, cut back on the meat, get a little more exercise, we'll see you next time, okay? That's the kind of decision-making that we're talking about. This is not diagnostic assessment that's necessary to provide a reasonable intervention for a child around reading. Zarling talked about the error rate being 50 to 60% in some screening measures. Yep, that's right. Just like blood pressure. That's why you screen multiple times. Every time you go to the doc, they're going to take your blood pressure. That's why you do it. Screenings have false positives, false negatives. With regard to Ben Nijos, if I hear another superintendent, including the state superintendent, say, I'm not an expert on reading, I think my mind is going to blow. Because if you're not an expert on reading, what are you an expert on? It's the number one thing you have to teach. Get a clue, superintendents, including our state superintendent, who should be here in this room answering questions about these outcomes. So when Representative Witke asks about ESSER funding and using ESSER funding, absolutely okay. Will this bill have an impact? Kind of depends on DPI. What's their role? Are they going to help? Are they going to stand in the way? In the future, we're going to need even more specificity in law. We need DPI accountability, like the audit that Representative Kitchens and Representative Teasfield called with regard to DPI's actions. That should happen. Parents, make complaints to DPI about Standard C. You can make complaints to DPI if a school district is not following standards. I encourage you to do that. Our next governor, if it's not the same governor we have now, could have an office for reading improvement that's staffed, similar to what they have in Mississippi. Founded on the principles of science of reading, you're going to have to go around DPI, you're going to have to go around the CESAs, but make their funding and their staffing proportionate to their cooperation with the governor's office on reading improvement. So thank you very much. Appreciate your work. This was a huge, huge day and a huge bill, and I'm happy to take any questions.
All right, thank you, John. I will start it off here, and then I see one question that has popped up to begin with. You know, I'm fairly confident that we're going to pass this bill out of here, and I'm fairly confident it's going to pass out of the Senate also, and I'm fairly confident it will pass on the floor in both houses. So, you know, obstacles in the way. Obviously, the governor, used to be the head of DPI, has the opportunity to veto this. And also, you know, should it pass into law even, is DPI going to be obstructionist? I mean, so that's what I see as the two biggest obstacles, the governor and DPI. So as far as the governor goes, you know, since Governor Evers has been in office, I don't believe, other than the first state budget, he has signed a bill that didn't have at least one member of the Democrat caucus that had co-sponsored that piece of legislation. And so that obviously is something that's important to him. So what would you recommend to people listening in order to try to make that happen? Because I assume the Democrats are listening. They're not in here, so I don't know. But we need their support in the long run on this. And so what can we do to try to get that?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've spoken with three members of the Democratic Party from the Assembly, one of whom is on this committee and had no interest in talking about the bill and no interest in discussing pros and cons. Another member who also sits on this committee and was very interested. And a third member who's not on the committee who is from Milwaukee. And I think the folks in Milwaukee, in the Assembly and in the Senate, are starting to come around with the fact that we have these terrible outcomes for students of color. And if nothing else, just like Jason Fields used to do, he was willing to break with his party when it served the interests of the children in his community. And those are the appeals that I've been making. So I would encourage folks across the state to contact all their legislators to encourage them to support the bill. I'm sorry to hear that co-sponsorship appears to have been the criterion that the governor has been using to sign legislation. But if at the very least we can get some Democratic votes, I think that could make a real difference. And clearly DPI's work at closing achievement gaps has not worked. It was Libby Burmaster's number one platform item when she ran for state superintendent, however many years ago that was. So it just continues to get worse, and I don't think that they can expect any better outcomes.
Yeah, and I don't mean to disparage DPI here because they're under new leadership, and so I don't know if benefit of the doubt is the right word because I've been here long enough to not give that, but I haven't gotten a strong read yet on the direction we're going to go with this. And so the fact that they didn't testify today and were in opposition was not a good sign.
No, and I think it would have been fair if they had come here and said, give us 6 months. We want to put out our new model for literacy, or give us a year. We want to work with whomever. But they didn't even appear. And they registered against, apparently without providing any rationale. So I agree. It's just unfortunate. And I will say that our state superintendent did talk about literacy in a webcast as part of her election, and was another one of the superintendents who said, I really don't know much about literacy. So I hope better news comes.
All right. Well, then, we do have a couple questions. So I think Representative Ramthan was first, and then Representative Mirsaw.
John, thanks for coming today. You, it's not the first time for me to see you give testimony, and you're batting 1,000. You know, the old baseball analogy thing. By the way, I have to ask you a somewhat serious note. Who asked you to bat cleanup today, or pitch cleanup?
Who asked me to testify?
To be last.
Oh, I asked to be last.
Oh.
Yeah, I wanted to hear everything else and be able to refute some of what I imagined was going to be.
I thought you said they asked me to.
No, I okay. Misspoke. Sorry.
All right. Well, then I just want to compliment you on a brilliant management decision because you did fantastic. I have to ask the question. You've stated it many times. I don't know if it's ego, if it's territorial dispute, if it's control or power, but why is it that we have obstructionists in the way of this bill, as you projected probably would be the case? Why? Why? What's the problem with trying to do the right thing for kids? What's in it for them to allow kids to continue to be collateral damage?
I sit up at night asking that question a lot myself. And it's not even just obstruction, Representative Ramthan. Last time I testified to this committee, I brought up the fact that there were some other groups that were not here, and I made it clear that didn't mean that they were opposed. I just said that they were not here. And they have attempted to use that to slander me. So it's not only benign. They go after people who highlight these issues, and I'm sure to get pushback on this. They have attacked me personally and professionally, and you know what? I am undeterred. We have such an opportunity. And thanks to groups like yours, like the parents, the Dyslexia Advocates, Senator Bernier, we have got to fix this problem. And that's a hill I'm willing to die on.
Well said. I have a question for the chair. Mr. Chairman, did anyone from DPI reach out to your office and want to talk about this meeting today or any of these bills? Did they show any interest?
They requested a pre-meeting yesterday, which I declined because didn't see any need to meet with them, and invited them to come to the hearing today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Was it you, Jeff? Representative Mirsaw, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We heard a lot about dyslexia. I'm a father that we did not have our son checked for that till he was a senior before he was going to go into higher education, and just labeled him as a screw-off in school, so to speak, his whole life, and pretty much ruined his life. But should we not, just a question, and we talked about this at some other hearings, should we not test every kid in school for dyslexia as they start to try to eliminate some of those problems? Because obviously there's tons of problems, and if 1 in 5 or what, 1 in 10, whatever it may be, is the case, we should do something to help those kids.
Yeah, and Representative, thank you for the question and the commentary. Absolutely, and I think most schools are doing something along those lines. Schools use a test called the MAP or the STAR, and the bill provides for other assessments that are frankly better. They're shorter, they're more accurate, they have fewer false positives and false negatives, all those things that we try to avoid in screening. So there is more work to be done, however. There are better ways to do what we're doing at those upper grades, too. And let's work on a K-12 screening, dyslexia screening bill. I said this to the Democrats that I talked with. Let's talk about teacher prep and teacher training. let's work on a bill to provide additional funding for teacher professional development. Say, buy 2 or 3 days of teacher time in the summer for science of reading training and fund that. Fund it through school districts. There's great training that's Reading Rockets is free from PBS. There's one that's called the Top 10 Tools for Teachers of Reading from a lady named Deb
Glaser.
Yeah, very inexpensive. So there are a lot of next steps that could be done, and are very there are certainly opportunities for improvement.
Thank you,
Representative Rosar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Rantham asked the real question I wanted to ask you, because my question was, why? I don't understand the obstructionism. It just makes no sense to me, and I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but I can speculate quite a bit on maybe why it's happening. I think that you made 2 really good points that I would like to emphasize. The horrible outcomes for people of color is absolutely disgusting. And why those populations are not rising up in arms, because it puts them at a disadvantage. You know, if we believe that reading helps with future success and those outcomes are so poor, what is the future for success? And I don't understand why those populations are not picking, stepping up and saying, this is not right. Where's the equity?
Right. And just to interject, I apologize. I think one of the bigger problems we have, and there was a slight reference to it earlier today, is that our report cards are so rosy. You can have 30% reading proficiency and be meeting or exceeding expectations, and it's absolute nonsense.
Grade inflation.
So parents see these report cards and school districts trumpet them. This is great. We're meeting or exceeding expectations. Those aren't my expectations. Those aren't anybody's expectations, right, except apparently DPIs.
Right. The second point that you made, which I really appreciated, was reading is the most important thing that we can teach at school. Because if we can teach a student to read in those early years, then they can read to learn for the rest of their lives. And that is so critical. And I really appreciate you stressing those 2 points. And I would like for the governor and DPI to come on board, because this committee, obviously, those of us that are present today, have a real concern for reading outcomes and helping people to be successful. And it just is a cause for pause for me to realize that there are people who don't have that same emphasis.
Well, I think it will be important for us to consider the possibility that they don't come on board and they continue to obstruct. So what happens next? More laws like this that get more prescriptive, a good audit of DPI's practices, considerations of DPI staffing levels, and you have the power of the purse, considerations of funding for CESAs. Let's talk about who's going to get on board, because this has to change. And if you win the governor's office, then let's talk about trying to create an office within the governor's office to support implementation of science of reading across the state.
Because that's the future of our state. If we do not have people in our state that can read, that does not bode well for the future
Absolutely.
Of our state. Thank you. I appreciate you coming today.
Yeah. Representative Wittke.
Thank you, Mr. Humphries. Appreciate it. But I have a couple of questions. Because I know as you talk with others, as you visit schools that are in my part of the state and so on, there is a lot of talk about are we so far behind now that we can never turn this around. I just had a conversation with someone that said, with the gridlock that we have here in Madison, with nothing getting passed, they don't have any, whether we push this bill through or not, they just don't have any hope that something meaningful will happen even within the next 5 to 6 months, which is very, which is, again, we lose another school year. We lose another problem. So are there other things that we can continue to do to keep pushing this forward, even if we can't get something legislatively done?
Okay, so you're saying without legislation. Okay. So I think you can have an audit of DPI's implementation of Standard C in particular and any other law with regard to implementation. I think I saw something recently from Institute for Reforming Government, the new group that Governor Walker put together about accountability for the executive branch. I want to read that. I haven't done that yet, but I think that would be a question. And then, again, you have the power of the purse, right? So as the Committee on Finance meets and discusses appropriations for DPI staffing, make it contingent on some implementation. I mean, that, I don't know, that's not a very nice thing to say, but golly, how bad does the problem have to get before we start to say, you know, here's where we're going to go?
So I will say that my work in another task force, people that are in these neighborhoods want change. The problem you've got with, and I have it in my own school district, you can't get anyone to pressure local control. You know, school board does what it wants. And I've often told people, like in our school district, six people make a decision. Five votes for yes and a superintendent. And then with what we see now, they don't want to answer to the public. They don't want to give any reasons for what they do. And that to me is what's really disparaging. So, I just, anything that we can do, I think we've just got to pick up the mantle and keep fighting.
Yeah, and you're specifically saying things without legislation. Yeah. Well, and let's take it a slightly different twist here, because Democrats talk a lot about wanting funding to go with these things. So let's incentivize it. You've talked about local control. Let's incentivize the use of certain interventions that we know are effective. This bill names certain assessment tools that we know are aligned with the process of how kids learn to read. Think about that. You did a similar thing in Motion 57 with Joint Finance. You specified certain training models and opportunities that were to be made available and other criteria for things that weren't named that would make them eligible for reimbursement. That's another potential way to do it. So, yes, there are probably other things to do that are not legislative, but there are things that you may be able to get legislative support for as well.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think that is the end of our questions, and you are definitely the last speaker. Appreciate you coming, and, yeah, an early one today. Huh? I just have a couple thoughts in closing here. On this bill in particular, and I think that I'm addressing obviously the audience, the parents of the state, whoever happens to be listening, my colleagues on the normally seated here to my right. Kids aren't liberals or conservatives, and it has been stunning to me how frequently in my 11th year in this building now, how often educational decisions come down that way. Frankly, a lot of the people who have come to me looking to solve this problem are liberals. Okay? And no doubt about it. They are looking past the whole liberals are Democrats, conservatives are Republicans. Okay? They're looking past that because they are looking at the science, they know what works, and they are willing to buck the trend of their political beliefs, which really has been established by a political party. Political parties don't establish data. And so the data shows what works, and we have been, as a state, fighting against it and perhaps ignoring it for years. And I plead with my colleagues normally seated to my right here, we need a unified approach to this in the state of Wisconsin. Set aside the political ideology and do what's best. Look into the eyes of these parents that are seated here and their kids and tell me that we can't do this better. That's all I would have. Then I'll remind, you have comment on that? Go ahead.
I'm not commenting on anything that we've done here, but something was brought up earlier in our meeting today that I have a real problem with, and that is those on the other side of the aisle that appear that they want to make this virus a political issue. I was really disturbed by what happened to one of our senators. Anything that involves this should be private. It's an HR issue, but it appears that some on the other side of the aisle want to use it as some kind of political football to gain points or to put someone else in a bad light. So I would ask that as committee chair that we no longer allow any discussion of this. This should be an HR issue. If they have questions, they should come to you behind closed doors, and you should deal with it with HR, because I just think that what happened to someone that, you know, right now is suffering is just despicable. Thank you.
All right, then. As for the future, we have this meeting together here on Thursday on some other bills, and tentatively looking towards next week, Tuesday also, so flurry of education. Oh, it's Wednesday. Sorry, not Wednesday next week. Tuesday was the original thought, but that was shifted to Wednesday. So Thursday and then Wednesday. All right, thank you, everybody. We are adjourned.